Welcome to Success Babe Radio. I'm your host, Brooke Alexander, and I am so excited that you're here. I'm a mindset and success coach for women who are ready to create a life they love and define their own version of success. On this podcast, we explore topics such as self-love, mindset, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and all the things you need to create your vision and start taking action. Let's get into today's episode. Hello everyone and welcome to this episode of Success Babe Radio. Today I am interviewing the lovely Erin Mae Henry. If you don't know who she is, then you should definitely look her up. She has an amazing YouTube channel, which is Erin Mae Henry. She also has a podcast, which is called The Erin Mae Henry Show. I initially found Erin, quite a while ago on YouTube. She does a lot of business and personal development videos, so that's how I found out about her. I have been fortunate enough to have Erin as my coach twice now. We are still currently working together and she is amazing. Erin is seriously so, so amazing. If it weren't for her, this podcast probably wouldn't even exist. I probably would be, I don't know what I would be doing, but I've seriously made leaps and bounds working with Erin. She's so lovely, so knowledgeable, so supportive. She always knows the right thing to say. She knows how to push just the right amount when there is resistance. And she also is so, so incredibly supportive. Honestly, I can't say enough good stuff about her, so I am so, so grateful that she came onto the podcast. The conversation was also super amazing. We talked about fears, spirituality, being yourself, finding out who you authentically are, entrepreneurship, trusting yourself. We even talked about aliens for a quick minute. There's even a little bit in there where she gave me like a little coaching, so you'll get to see what Erin's coaching style is like. But this was really an amazing conversation. There is so much good stuff in here, so I won't keep you too much longer. I really hope you enjoy the episode, and please let me know what you thought of it, and let's jump into the interview. Everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I have a very lovely guest for you today. I am speaking with Erin Mae Henry. Erin is a YouTuber, podcaster, and personal branding mentor for female creatives and entrepreneurs. She helps people be unapologetically themselves and get paid for it. Erin is passionate about empowering authentic entrepreneurs to feel confident in their uniqueness and sharing their story with the world. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Erin.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm literally so excited to be here. I've spoken so many times on my Instagram about how much I love your podcast. The episodes are amazing and it's honestly an honor to be here.
Oh, thank you. You are so sweet. Okay, so for our listeners, can you give me a little bit about you and about your, I guess, your background on starting a business, etc.?
Yes. So my journey is quite long in that I've been doing this for almost 5 years now. But pretty much where I started, I guess you could say in the online world or with my business, was back when I was studying business and public relations. And pretty much I got some advice during my study when I was at uni. And it was all about, if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to have this kind of entrepreneurial lifestyle, which I definitely did, I was always one of those people who knew I didn't want to be an employee, you could say. Mm-hmm. I got this advice that if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to have success online, then you need to start building a community. You need to start building an audience online. And this was at this PR event, totally boring day, wasn't going to go. So glad I did. Literally changed my life. but I went home that night taking that advice to heart and I started my YouTube channel. So that was back in 2014. Back then I just started doing like fitness content, lifestyle content, nothing too serious. I was still studying. But then push came to shove when I was graduating, all of my like peers, all of my, I'm not going to say friends. I was a bit of a nomad at uni, but everyone around me was getting all these graduate positions and, internships. And I was like, not for me. Thank you. So I just started my own business. Literally the day I finished, I was like, okay, now I have a social media marketing business. So that's where I started. It was pretty good in the beginning. I was lucky enough to land a pretty big client, which took a lot of time. They had multiple brands under their like umbrella, you could say. But during that, I just ended up facing so much fear. And I know like this is what you speak about so often, Brooke. It's a big part of your story. I've heard it here on the podcast. But I was just, yeah, I was consumed with all of this fear. I didn't want to go and like put myself out there. I didn't want to go and start social media marketing, my social media marketing business, because I was so afraid of getting new clients. I was like, what if I stuffed up? What if no one liked me? What if they're previous social media manager was better and I did a terrible job, like just all these ridiculous fears. And mind you, at this stage, I'd been on YouTube for, you know, pretty much, I think it was 3 years at the time. And I'd already been doing like little social media marketing jobs here and there since 2013. So I was good. You could say that, but that's the nature of fear, right? It's just so irrational. It's not the truth. Anyway, so that kind of led me into self-development. I found Tony Robbins, I found Marie Folio, I found all of these really great leaders who were talking about business, who were talking about fear and explaining what mindset was, explaining the psychology around success. And I'd never really heard this stuff before. You know, they don't teach you this in university. They don't teach it to you in high school that you're going to have fears. You're going to have all of these thoughts that are going to try to prevent you from your success. So it's pretty annoying that as adults, we have to learn that later. But that was my stage that I started learning it. And during this whole like self-development journey, I found coaching. I just fell in love with what Tony was doing. I fell in love with what Marie was doing. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I want to do. I don't want to write blog posts for the rest of my life for companies in the skincare industry. I just want to help people in this way. So then I dove straight in, you could say. I hired my very first coach, massive investment. It was so scary, but it was the best decision I ever made, and launched my coaching business. At the time, I was coaching people in just startup. So I was helping people to just really start up their business over time. So I've been doing this for about 2 years now. Over time, it's kind of evolved into more helping people, as you said in the beginning, with their personal brands. I really want to help entrepreneurs, you know, like yourself or like anyone listening who is an entrepreneur, just to be themselves online, to be able to show up, be themselves, feel authentic, feel confident to be themselves, and to really make a difference in this world because of that. Everyone's got this mission inside them. I know that everyone has a different mission inside them, I say, but so many people are too afraid to let that mission shine or to follow the intuitive nudges that they get towards that. And now that is my mission, is I want to help people just to be able to show up and be unapologetically themselves and to make a difference in the world.
I love it. I love it. It's so amazing. And I've heard this story a few times, but like every time I hear it, I just really enjoy hearing it. So the next thing, the thing that I actually really wanted to talk to you about, is I guess uniqueness and being yourself. And you've spoken a lot lately about how, when you first started your business, you were kind of conforming to a certain way of dressing, et cetera, and that it was possibly influenced by outside sources and like the coach you were with at the time. So can you talk to us a little bit about what that was and then how you kind of realized that that wasn't who you really are?
Yeah, that's a great question, because in all honesty, this is just such a common thing for so many people to do. And again, it comes back to that one very annoying thing that kind of blindsides so many of us later in our journey, and that is fear. So I was always a very, you could say, eccentric like teenager. And in my early 20s, I was very kind of out there. I've always loved like rock music. I've always just, I was the person who wore like creeper shoes, and anyway, was somewhere between like punk rock and a hippie. And I loved that. I loved, you know, the music I listened to and everything. And I was always that carried on. I loved glitter. Anyway, we're not going to talk about like my loves, but when I started my business, I saw all of these coaches around me because of, I guess, the content that I was consuming, who were very Ritz-Carlton, like very posh in a way. My coach was British. She was very posh, beautiful, very about the day spa, all of that. You know, I'm not trying to stereotype, but you know that kind of interest that I'm explaining. And so I found myself getting this vision that if I was going to be this successful business coach, that I essentially needed to dress a certain way, that I need to be a certain way. And it wasn't even conscious. Like, it wasn't like I was sitting there going like, oh, I'm not going to be successful unless I'm, you know, country club Erin. But it was just all these very unconscious nudges that were like kind of pushing me in this direction to get heavily influenced by what I was surrounding myself with. And that happens to so many of us. And whether or not we are trying to start a business or whether or not we are trying to build a brand, it tends to happen that when we consume so much content and we see people that are succeeding in a certain way, that we think subconsciously that that is going to be the way for us to succeed. So what I found was when I first started building my brand, the aesthetics of my brand, my business, even the way that, as you said, I started dressing, started really gearing towards my coach and the kind of identity that my coach had, and even her coach, and you know, that whole group of coaches on this site. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had no example of anyone else who was very kind of out there and doing it in their own way. And it just started to feel uncomfortable. Like, you start looking at your choices, you start looking at what you've built, and it just feels so unaligned with who you are on the inside. And I really started to recognize that. I really started to feel that I had a resentment towards my brand and the way that it looked. I had a resentment towards my business. And I even started getting really unhappy with myself and the way that I was looking and the way that I was feeling about myself. And that's when I realized what had happened, when I actually stepped back and I reflected and I was like, this isn't me. Funnily enough, I can tell you the exact moment where it was happening. I was going through old Facebook photos and I have this folder called Dreaming of all these just like weird Tumblr photos. This is like, I'm talking back from 2012. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, it's like pictures of like gorillas taking photos. And I was like, I'm weird and I'm not reflecting that at the moment and it feels really bad. So then I had this realization moment and I was like, I need to start getting back to myself. Now, obviously, not to shock everyone, I kind of took it slowly. But then I just really recognized that I can stand out and I can still do this and I can be successful just being myself. And again, that's kind of why it's a part of my mission now. And the funny thing was, when I realized that, I realized how many weird eccentric coaches there actually were. So it's like when your reticular activating system comes out and you're like, oh, actually, there's all these people who are really out there and really successful. So then, yeah, I just realized that, you know, you absolutely can be successful in any industry, no matter what you look like, no matter how you speak, no matter what music you listen to, no matter what you're interested in, it doesn't matter. You just be you, and that's what's going to make you stand out online. And that's essentially, you know, the story about how I've gotten to where I am today. And my biggest piece of advice for anyone who is just trying to live their life or they are just trying to start a business, before you do anything, take the time to get to know yourself. I didn't take the time to really reflect on who I was and who I wanted to be and all of this stuff. And if I had have done that before, then I think none of that would have really ever happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can completely resonate with everything that you said. And I'm sure a lot of other people can too, because when we think about success and like achieving the things that we want to achieve, we kind of look to other people to see how they did it and what they did. And while that can be good to have people that you can model and like look up to, that's great. But then I think a lot of people fall into the trap of thinking, well, these are all the things that they did to get there. This is the person that they were to get there. So this is the one path to get to where I want to be. And that's, I mean, it's become a realization for me recently is that that's not how it has to actually go. Like, you can, the middle part, the journey part doesn't actually matter so much. There's not like one set path the way that it is. It can go any which way, but you're going to get to the end as long as that's where you're headed. That's the direction that you're going in. And I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah. And something I'd really like to say on that, that's such a good observation. And something that I'd like to say on that, because a lot of people will be like getting down on themselves, as we always do when we start. I think self-development's a paradox because A, it makes you feel good, but then it also makes you feel really bad. You're like, why am I so effed up, basically? Yeah. But I think what I'd like to explain is that, you know, we are wired as human beings, the way that we go through school, the way that we go through life, the way that we're taught from our childhood, to follow a linear path. We are wired to essentially follow the status quo. And we are trained to think that, you know, there is this one straight line to success. And the way that we would usually visualize that is, you know, for example, within an organization, you would start with an entry-level job, maybe an internship, and you would work up to maybe management of the lower end, and then you'd work up to middle management, and then you work up to like managing director. It's just this very straight line up an organizational chart of a very certain type of person to get into a success role. And entrepreneurship breaks all of those rules, but we still have that wiring there. We still have that vision within us that there is one line to success. So it is an additional layer of work that needs to be done to break those beliefs. But once you actually recognize that entrepreneurship is nowhere near a line, it's more like just a whole bunch of confetti thrown up in the air, then you realize that it's never going to have order. It's never going to feel like a one straight direction. So you've just got to make your path yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the confetti analogy because I can completely resonate with that. It's all just like, just a whole lot of whatever you're just trying to grab whatever piece you can really get to at that point while they're all floating around.
But it's fun, right?
it's fun. It's scary fun. Good fun. Good scary. So then when you did kind of come to the realization that the way that you were doing things wasn't authentic to you, and you knew that you needed to make a change and kind of really figure out who you are and get back to your roots, I guess, and like kind of change how you were doing things. What was it that you did in order to connect with yourself to really figure out who you are right now? Because obviously the person that you were at that point in your journey was different to the person that you were before you began that journey. So you couldn't really just go right back to that spot and say, okay, this is who I am again. Like you'd obviously evolved. So how did you go about figuring out who you were at that point in time?
Yeah. So I'm not going to say that I have done it because mm-hmm. I think it's an everlasting journey. Yeah. Getting to know yourself, yeah. getting to know your intuition, getting to know who you are, because we change literally every day. Like every day we wake up, we are a new person essentially. And to get to know yourself is just an ongoing relationship. It's like if you were in a friendship or in a relationship, you're always finding out new little quirky things about your partner or your friends, and that's fine. But it's the same for yourself. You're going to find new things you're interested in. You're going to find new like ways that you like to speak, words that you say, I don't know. But yeah. essentially the way that I have really started to connect with myself is through spirituality, through practices like journaling. Journaling is a huge one. I converse with myself. So I use journaling. I do morning pages every day. I converse with myself, with my intuition, just to ask myself, like, what are my fears currently? What am I feeling? What are my vibes? So that's a huge one to really start to get to know myself. Also, I spend a lot of time by myself. Now, I'm naturally more towards the extroverted side of the scale. And I feel entrepreneurship really forced me to spend time by myself. And that's a whole nother story. But something that I started doing is like intentionally spending time by myself, just spending time listening to music, spending time thinking, pondering, you could say, or reading. And it's when you are forced to really spend time by yourself, you naturally start to get to know yourself more. But the biggest thing is, and this is, I guess, I was rediscovering, but it could be even more relevant for anyone who is essentially discovering themselves, is you've just got to start experimenting in life, experimenting with your personal style, experimenting with hobbies, experimenting with interests, experimenting with travel, experimenting with music, experimenting with friends. You know, when you start to really put yourself out there into the world and recognize that there's all these little nuances that you're interested in and all of these things that make you happy, then you can start to build a really, really clear picture of exactly who it is you are. And, you know, there's obviously, these is more in terms of surface level hobbies, interests, and things. But when you start to know those things, then the spirituality helps you to go deeper. What are your biggest values? What are the things that are most important to you, your priorities in life? What are your deepest, darkest fears? And what are your ultimate motivations? So it has to be a combination, but I guess if I was going to summarize it in one word, it would be to take action. I think too many people are thinking their way into self-love or trying to think their way into self-discovery, but taking action and actually doing things, just like I've said, getting to know yourself, spending time alone, journaling, and experiencing life, that is ultimately what is going to help you to build this picture, this relationship with yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Your point that you made about spending time alone intentionally is a huge, huge one, because yeah. So many people think like, oh, but I can be by myself and like I can be by myself and like watch a TV show alone, but that's not quite what it is. It means like for me, spending time alone, and I do this intentionally a lot. It's kind of one of my favorite things to do is like be alone. And I like will go to a movie by myself or take myself out to dinner or like sit around listening to music or read or go for a walk, like fully being alone and not being forced to be alone just because all your friends are out or away doing other things, like intentionally being alone. And I think so many people just don't think about it. It's like a crazy concept to them to actually go to a movie alone or spend time with just their own thoughts.
Yeah. And oh my God, we could so dive so deep into this, but it's funny because there is a huge, and everyone's going to get really confused because we keep saying music, but you've got to differentiate between alone escapism, which is, you know, being on your phone, watching a TV show or something like that, and alone activity, like going to the movies and being by yourself. Like to a lot of people that would feel really awkward, but you're saying like, I'm okay being by myself. But alone escapism where you're like locked in your room on your phone or with your laptop on your belly watching Netflix, like that's not going to feel uncomfortable for everyone. It's almost like getting outside your comfort zone and being okay with being by yourself. And there's a huge difference between that and just like being by yourself.
Yeah, definitely. It does. And I think though you don't, it might be hard for people to know the difference until they've actually experienced it, because I've had conversations with people before and I'm like, you need to be okay being alone. You need to be comfortable being by yourself. And they're like, well, I'm by myself all the time because like I have no friends. And I'm like, that's not the point. Like, so I think it's kind of one of those things that you need to experience before you can tell the difference between being alone escapism and being alone because you choose to spend your time with yourself.
So I've got a great experiment that I think everyone could do. So go to a cafe. So plan 2 days where you're going to go have lunch at a cafe or just a coffee. It doesn't matter. The first time, take your phone. Take your phone and see how much you are called to just go on social media, and you probably feel like you're still really, really connected to everyone, right? It probably won't feel that awkward because you're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm here by myself, but I'm on my phone. So I've kind of blocked out everyone around me. No one's looking at me thinking I'm weird. I'm on my phone. That's normal in this day and age, right? The second time, go to the cafe and don't take anything. Don't take a laptop. Don't take your phone. Just sit and eat and think and ponder and be a part of what's going on, but be by yourself. You will feel the difference between the two. If you are just consumed in social media on your phone, or you're really, really sitting there by yourself, that's when you're going to really feel the difference.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Like while you were explaining those two, I was like, oh, I would love to go to a restaurant right now and just sit there and eat by myself and not look at my phone. Like, that sounds like an amazing time to me. Yeah. I love doing that. And I hope everyone appreciates that they just got a little free coaching session from Erin right now. Always switched on. Something that I have been enjoying from you recently, and you just spoke about, is your spirituality and like you're exploring that a bit more. Is that something that you were into like growing up? Have you always been into that? Or is this something that you're kind of new to, or you're just kind of getting into it now?
So I would say that I've always had a spiritual side. So just if we want to backtrack to when I was like 10, I was obsessed with Charmed. I think most people who were born in the 90s were as well. But I was like literally obsessed with Charmed to the point where I thought I was a witch. I literally thought I was a witch. I would create my own book of shadows out of this fairy book that I had. It was like this big, thick, like the perfect size, and it was dark green. It looked really rustic, and I poured teal over it to make make it look really old. But I had this book, I made a book of shadows, and I just like cast spells all the time. I was super into that. Where I like had this whoa, spirituality is real moment was, I don't know, Brooke, if you ever remember or anyone listening, they had those, they have them here in Australia. I'm not sure if they have them overseas, but it's like a Merlin the Wizard machine. Basically what it is you put like $2 in, you type in all your details, you put your finger down on it. So it takes your fingerprint. I'm sure that actually doesn't do anything. It's for the experience. But then it prints out like a scroll, like a really old looking scroll. And it tells you all of these things about you. And mind you, when I did this, I was like 10 or something like that. But it was just so on point, like all of the stuff that it was telling me about myself. And I'm sure it's like, now thinking about it, it's based off of your birth chart. So like if you're into astrology, your birth chart is like, you know, basically depicts who you are as a human being. So it's probably based off that, but it was just so real. And I was like, whoa, how does this machine with this like grumpy old wizard know all of this stuff about me? Like it was like describing my personality. And come on, I was like 10 as well, like as if I even knew who I was back then. But it was just like, I don't know, it was so right. So I've always been like, there is something else. I've never been super religious, even though I'm Catholic. I've never really connected with Jesus or God or anything like that. But I've always, always, always felt like there is something else. There's magic. I've always believed in magic, you could say. So anyway, that was like when I was younger, and I was always one to like go into like little old trinkety stores and love it and think they were super spiritual, and there was always something else about them. But as I grew up, I kind of lost that spiritual side of me until I rediscovered the law of attraction, which was probably maybe like 3 or 4 years ago now. And started getting really, really into manifestation and the law of attraction. And that has been something I've super been into, which then rolled into personal development. As I said, when I was, you know, consuming a lot of Tony Robbins and Marie Folio, but I always knew that it was beyond just the science of the mind. Like I knew, again, there was something else beyond ourselves. I can't explain my spirituality other than the fact that I so firmly believe there's something outside myself. That sounds so weird.
I know exactly what you mean though. It's like, I grew up going to Catholic school and whatever, all that kind of stuff too, but it never resonated with me. I never connected with it, but I was kind of spiritual as well growing up, like just little things. And then I am exactly the same. It's really hard to explain, I guess, what it means for you, but I also feel like there is something else, if it's an energy, what it is. But when you start practicing, like consciously practicing law of attraction, manifestation, that kind of stuff, and then you get results from it, and like it starts, like the universe kind of starts talking back, I guess. You get responses from what it is that you're doing. It's like, well, I have the proof here. I can't not think it now. It's like right in front of me. I see it.
Yeah. And for anyone listening, I know you probably have some interest in spirituality. If you're here, if you follow Brooke, I know that you probably believe that there is something outside yourself, but there are so many ways to practice spirituality. So like, as you kind of said, I've been getting more into tarot, into astrology, into crystals, which is something that is still kind of new to me in that respect. I've always been into manifestation, but spirituality doesn't need to look this. Oh my God. It's exactly the same as like what we're speaking about in the beginning. Like you see a spiritual leader and all of these, like, I have to do it that way. But like spirituality, there's so many doors to the unknown when it comes to spirituality. And you, again, should just experiment and find what works for you. Maybe you find out that you're super into like chakra healing. Maybe you're into like Tibetan sound healing. There are so many different things that you could do to like essentially heal yourself or to connect with the source outside yourself. But don't try something and be like, this isn't for me, and think that spirituality is not on the cards for you. Because again, there's so many different tools, there's so many different practices, there's so many different ways that you can connect with your intuition, with the source outside yourself. But just keep experimenting until you find something that feels good for you. Because when you do, oh my God, life changes. You do. And this is the give me goosebumps kind of stuff, because it's when you can start to see everyday magic. That's when it's like, I can achieve anything. It helps you to have so much faith. It helps you to have so much self-belief when you know that you're kind of not alone.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something that I speak about a lot in my podcast and to my clients as well, is that
if just because a certain practice or a certain technique or a certain way of doing something doesn't feel right for you, then you like that's okay and you're not meant to do that thing. There are other things that you can do, but the point of all of these things is to get you into a place where you feel good so that you can start creating from a really good place. These things, they're not the reason why all this stuff happens for you. They're the reason why you get into a good place so that you can start making the good stuff happen. That's something I talk about a lot is you have to, the only point of any of this stuff is to do what feels good and don't rely on the mechanisms to make it happen for you because they're not the things that make it happen. You make it happen and you've got to feel good while you're doing it.
I love that so much. And honestly, I think I'm not even sure people will realize how powerful what you just said is because it's so intimidating for a lot of people. Spirituality feels like this heavy topic, but what you've just said is that it's not. Like, dudes, at the end of the day, all you need to do is like feel good. And these are just tools that help you do that. And I love that you've explained it that way because it just takes off that heaviness that so many people wear on their shoulders. Like, I have to do my tarot or I have to do my meditation. Well, no, you get to do all that stuff because mm-hmm. it's putting you in a place of just enjoying life. And at the end of the day, why not? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Like if you can do something or believe something that's going to make you happier and feel good and get you to a good place, like who cares if whether or not the person next to you believes the same thing too? It doesn't matter. Like you've just got to focus on feeling good for you so that you can have your best life, which is exactly what the point of it all is anyway.
Exactly.
We're getting deep.
I love it.
The meaning of life. So something that I do want to speak to you about, and you brought this up kind of just briefly a few seconds ago, is this kind of this self-trust and believing in yourself and trusting who you are. And I think that's a huge thing for a lot of people and myself as well, is trusting that what I am doing and being and creating is the right thing and what my audience wants. And especially, I guess this can relate in business a lot, is like when we're creating something and then we put it out there and say, this is what I've made, like trusting ourselves is a huge thing. So what is it that you do? Is there anything that you do or anything that you have done to kind of work on building this for yourself?
So I guess this is less of a strategy and more of a realization, but I mean, I just have a question for you, Brooke. Mm-hmm. Do you want to win an Olympic gold medal?
No.
Have you ever wanted to be a architect?
Not really, no.
And would you like to be someone who is in parliament?
No.
So what I'd like to propose to you is that we humans are so unique and so individual, and we honestly are miracles. We are miracles. You know, we have a 1 in 400 trillion chance of being born. And I know a lot of people have heard that stat a lot, but I don't think a lot of people comprehend that. With all of the variables, the time of day, the partnership between your parents, where they are, what even the moon is doing on that day, all of those things, even what your mom or dad had eaten before they did it. Sorry to like bring that up, but you know what I mean? There are so many variables because you think about how many little guys, you want to call them, have a chance and you got through. I know this is getting like a bit too biological, but you know what I mean? There's so many variables, which actually gives you like a 1 in 400 chance of being here. So you are a miracle. You are so unique. No one on this planet is like you. No one on this planet has been raised like you. And therefore, if we go back to the spirituality side of things, no one on this planet has the exact path as you, destiny, if you want to call it, but that stuff is even too heavy. No one has the same interests as you. No one has the same desires as you. Yes, okay, Brooke, there are other people who want to be mindset coaches and spirituality coaches and all of this stuff, but nobody in this world is going to be wanting to do it the same way as you. And it sounds like it takes away the uniqueness of us all having our own destiny, but it doesn't, because we're all here to play a specific role. If we thought that life is like a play, we all have a specific role. It's not two people fighting for the one role, because we all have a specific role that we are supposed to play. So in terms of trusting yourself, the desires that you have to become a spirituality and mindset coach and success coach, that is given to you. You don't have the desire to be a politician or the desire to be an architect or the desire to be an Olympic gold athlete. You have the desire to be this one specific thing. So can you not think, with all of the things that you would want to be in this planet and all of the places that you could have been born, all of these different variables, that you are here right now as you, with all of these experiences that you've been through that have shaped the person you are, with this one desire, doesn't that make you realize that this is what I'm supposed to do? You're sitting here with this one thing that is in your mind that is telling you, yes, okay, there might be other interests that you have, there might be other ideas that you have, but ultimately we get to the point where we discover this one thing that we want to do. Do you think that's by mistake or accident or influence? I don't think so. You have been created with this life, with these experiences. You know, Brooke, I know that there have been some things that you've been through in your life, but in hindsight, do they not just put you in a position to be a better spiritual mindset and success coach? You know, so everyone listening, this point that you're standing at in your life right now, if there is one thing that is on your mind that you are like, should I trust this? I don't know. Would I be good at it? All of these ego-driven thoughts that you might be having. Just know that if you're not sitting there being like, oh, I'd really love to be a fisherman and an underwater basket weaver and a baker and all of these millions of things, the reason why you're there sitting with that one thing is because you are supposed to play that role. You are supposed to do it. And you have to have a little faith in the universe. And again, this is why spirituality, journaling, self-development helps. But you've got to have a little faith that everything has brought you to this point, that you are supposed to follow this path. And when you can start to realize that, you can start to trust. And then you can start to take action and make massive changes in the world.
Love it. Love it all. Love it. Something also that I say is like the same thing, that if you're, I have this idea, this kind of concept, and I don't think I've ever really spoken to anyone about it before, but it's, so it's going to be really, really weird and out there, but I'm going to tell everyone anyway. So I have this theory, right? That kind of like thoughts already exist. Like thoughts, they're in the air and they're floating around and they kind of choose us. So these things come to us for a reason. Like we don't just kind of come up with this thing out of nowhere for nothing. Like our everything that we were, everything that you just spoke about. So all the experiences that we've had, the based on like what our dad ate beforehand, like all of these things that have gotten us to who we are. And then these thoughts are around, right? And they're like, this is the exact perfect person that I need to go to be this thought to be expressed into reality. So This is my weird theory, but I think that if you have a thought that you're to do something, then you have that thought for a reason. It's not just like it put in your head, or you don't just come up with it like out of nothing. It's meant to be in your head for a reason.
Yeah. And something I'd like to add on that, because I don't think that is weird at all. And this is something that I've thought about myself, actually. It's like, do we develop the thoughts or do they come to us? And I'm more leaning towards the fact that I think that they come to us, because if we want to get super into quantum physics, you know, a thought is matter. It's exactly the same as this candle sitting next to me to a certain degree. But you know, it's all energy at the end of the day, and it's all just vibrating at different frequencies to dictate the solidity of something. But anyway, at the end of the day, I think that you are so right. I think that thoughts do come and choose us, because we are almost, it's like, again, if we go back to that mission thing, right? So it's like, you are the perfect candidate for this thing that needs to be birthed into our existence. And so this thought comes to you, but the way that someone could differentiate between that and influence, because we are influenced by what we see on social media. We're like, oh, you know, there's an ad for a taco. I'd really love a taco right now. Like that's influence, right? Yeah. Or if we say, oh, that's that really, really, like really amazing bodied fitness model, like maybe I should start working out more and not eat the taco. Like that's all influence. But that stuff is not sustainable. That's like in the moment, like maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. If you have something that's reoccurring, something that feels like it is pulling on your shirt, it is nagging you, it is in your mind and it won't go away, that's what I think you're trying to say, Brooke. Like, those thoughts have chosen you and they want to be actualized. And it's not just influence. It's not just something that's popped up because you've just seen on a Facebook ad or something like that. It's like a real mission. It's your destiny. Again, I hate using that word. That scares a lot of people. But again, it is, this thought has come to you and it's like, please make me real. Like, you're the person to do this. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't. That's the worst part about it.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people, they get that fear and the ego starts coming in and then they start questioning the stuff. And I guess this is where the whole personal development comes into it, when you can kind of differentiate between the conscious and the subconscious and the ego and really learn that, like, you have the choice. You can choose to think the negative, disempowering thoughts, or you can go with the scary but empowering thoughts that are going to probably, like, change your life.
And which is like exactly what you help people do, isn't it?
that's the thing. So,
love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm really enjoying this conversation. I'm glad that you didn't think that my idea was super weird.
Never. Honestly, I think, and again, when you start, just to come full circle here, when you do start spending a lot of time intentionally by yourself, you start to have radical thoughts and really out there stuff. Mine lately have been more along the line of aliens.
Oh.
And extraterrestrial beings. We definitely don't need to get into that today. But when I've been spending a lot of time by myself, it's just like contemplating the existence of others.
Oh, good. I love thinking about that kind of stuff too.
Maybe we'll have a part two.
to go into all of that, I'm sure. So, I guess on the point of ideas and thoughts, when you are, because you do create a lot of content in the form of podcasts, videos, Instagram, courses, is there a process that you go through that you kind of use to generate your ideas and come up with stuff? What do you do in that kind of situation when you need to come up with new ideas and new things?
So I'm going to be honest, this is my least favorite question. I hate getting asked this question, only because the teacher in me wants to give a very strategical answer. I want to say that I do all of this stuff, and I do have a strategical answer, and I'll say that in a second. But I, through my spirituality, through my self-development, have gotten myself to a point, even more so through my connecting to myself, have gotten myself to a point where I can very easily trust my intuition. And a lot of the content that I create, a lot of the courses I create, a lot of the things that I do that move my business forward, they are more of an intuitive nudge. And I guess if we even want to talk about, you know, us receiving ideas, that is exactly what it feels like. I feel like I have been confirmed by the universe that I'm on the right path, and it is sending me ideas that are going to get me to my goals. So that is, I guess, the eccentric answer. Now, if I was going to give a strategic answer, because yes, I still do research and I still do go out there and figure out what people need and respond to that. So I listen. And that's the most simplest thing that I can say for anyone who's wanting to create content, who's wanting to put themselves out there, create courses. You have to just be responsive to what people want. And if you don't, like, I have an audience, so I am constantly getting messages in my DMs or on my Facebook or in my Facebook group. So that kind of drives a lot of what I'm able to do as well. But even if you don't have an audience, like, people are still on the internet talking about what they need. So whatever your niche may be, go and find the places where your target audience within that niche are hanging out and figure out specifically what they're talking about. You know, if you were wanting to be like a nutritional coach or a fitness coach of some sort, there's 1,001 fitness channels on YouTube that you could peruse the comment section to see what questions are being asked. There is lots of different fitness groups on Facebook. There is lots of different fitness pages. Just go and figure out, like, what are the common questions. And if you wanted to get really geeky, make a spreadsheet and, like, put all of the questions in and create a formula. I don't really know how spreadsheets work, but create a formula so you could see, like, the most common trends amongst those questions, and bang, you've got content to be created. So do both. Get to the point where you can get intuitively guided to even the places that you need to do the research in. But also go out there and just start listening. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about us all the time. It's like consumer psychology, consumer awareness, consumer development. He's always talking about consumer, consumer, consumer. But basically what he's saying is just listen to your customers, listen to the people who are your potential customers or your potential audience. And that is going to drive you to be able to create some amazing stuff rather than just guessing.
Yep. Totally agree. And I love both of those answers. Excuse me. But my favorite answer was the one about connecting to your intuition. And yeah. Is there anything that you do in order to connect to your intuition, or are you at a place right now where it kind of just all flows to you?
Definitely not. So I think it's like going to the gym, right? Spirituality, meditation, connecting to your intuition. Like, I think when you practice it regularly or do things to practice it regularly, it strengthens and you get better at it. But then if you have like 2 months off, then it kind of gets hard again. You know what I mean? You kind of have to start from ground zero. So I have a morning practice, you could say, that I do. And pretty much what it looks like is I will meditate. Just sitting at my desk, I meditate. And I think that's a really good way to just get rid of the thoughts. I actually have started doing silent meditation, which I think really helps with the intuitive side of things. So what I used to do is a lot of guided meditation. And while that's great for brain training and focus, silent meditation actually helps me to just not have anything there to kind of, I guess, wipe away all of the influence, all of the thoughts, everything, so that I can get to a point of stillness that helps me to hear, feel, it's not even really a hearing thing, it's more of a feeling, my intuition. Then what I actually do is I will pull a card from my tarot deck, which it sounds so crazy, but lately I've really, really, really mastered listening when to stop shuffling. That's something that I've got a lot better at. I never used to be good at that. I kind of just like picked a card out, whatever. But lately I've been shuffling very intentionally and really, really thinking. And it's funny because it's more of a hearing, but when it's time for me to stop shuffling, I hear stop, 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 stop. Like, it's like not just like a stop. It's like a repetition of stops, which is so weird. But every time I've had drawn a card since then has been insane. Like, you have no idea. Like, perfect. I'm going to Bali today with my fiance, his brother, and his brother's wife. And we've had this like weird, like, if you just put your hands up, like the four fingers, and like tuck your thumb in, so you're like making like the number four with your hand. We've been doing this like weird, like hand symbol, right? Just every time we've had a FaceTime. And then the other day I bought a new tarot deck, and I can't exactly remember which the card was. I'll let you know. But basically I did a shuffle, and the card I pulled was four people, two guys, two girls, standing on a beach with these like big laser beams that were up in this like it looked like four, you know what I mean? Like the four, it was so weird. And then anyway, the actual description of the card was like, you're about to have a celebration time with family and friends. Like, what the actual F? that's just like a side note, but anyway, I've gotten to a point where I can really like intuitively tell. So I do a card pull, and then I do my morning pages, which is just a journaling practice. I journal about the card, I journal about where I am in my cycle, I journal about where the moon is. So I just write all these details at the top so I can go back to reflection, and then I just talk like with my intuition, if that makes sense. So it's more like a conversation in the journal. So I've named my intuition Ray. In the start, it felt like Ray of Sunshine. Now it always feels like Ray Romano, which is kind of creeping me out. But anyway, so I like have a conversation back and forth about things that are going on, about the card. And that's a really great way. So this morning practice, then later in the day, sets me up to be more in tune with what my intuition is guiding me to do.
Yeah, amazing. I love all of that. And especially the stuff about the tarot.
Insane.
I'm kind of at the same point, like this, I've had a couple of things, even some friends have commented, like because I post my tarot stuff on Instagram almost every day, or my card pulls. And like, sometimes I'll like do this, I have this weird app that I'll pull a card on that. And then it allows you to pull a random card, and then I'll pull one on my deck and it's like the same card or something. What? It's crazy.
insane. Yeah. That's literally insane.
Super insane. Or I've been doing the mindset shift on my Instagram stories lately. And so sometimes I'll like say something in the nighttime. I usually do. I'll say something in my mindset shift thing as like my tip for people. And then the next day, my tarot card that I pull will be like almost exactly what I just said. And like, you can see it because they're both still in the story. It's crazy, but
oh my God. And people say that this stuff doesn't work. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so insane. And I'm just how you mentioned how you're kind of knowing, you're consciously knowing when to stop the deck too. I'm also at a place now where my whatever, sometimes I get to a point where my finger lands on one of the cards as I'm shuffling. And then I just know that that's the card. And then I put the rest of the cards like underneath so I can just get that top card. Like as soon as I hit it, something in my body is like, that's the card.
But what I'd love to say here as well for anyone listening that was maybe wanting to get into tarot or spirituality or connecting with their intuition, like I feel like I've been doing this for a while now. Like I've had my tarot, like I've been doing tarot for like months now, and it's only just really started to feel like that over the past maybe like 2 weeks. So again, if you are just starting out and you're not on the first day you pull a tarot card, like getting the same intuitive nudges that Brooke or I are getting, don't quit. It happens over time. It's again, just like being in the gym. Are you going to go in there and not know what the hell you're doing? Be so confused, probably not be able to lift anything, but over time you're going to get better and better and better, and it strengthens. It's like a muscle. So stick with it is definitely a massive lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I say that about a lot of the things like meditation. I'm huge on meditation and reading and all of these kinds of things. And also like the manifestation stuff that we were talking about. At first, it might feel weird. It might not feel like right. It might not feel like normal, but you're not doing it wrong just because of that. It doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. These are things like they're muscles and they need to be worked sometimes, and you've got to kind of just stick with it. And if it feels good for you, but it might not just be like, it might still be new, that's okay. You're allowed to kind of feel a little bit odd when something's new, and you just keep doing it and then you get better. You like, there's no other way but to get better. There's just, you can't go backwards. You can only go forwards.
And like, honestly, in life, when does anything feel good when you first start doing it? You know what I mean? Like if you're going to learn an instrument, a language, go to a different country, go to a new school, go start a new business, like you're just getting yourself outside your comfort zone, which we all know is where the magic happens. So stick with it. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And I have learned that myself quite a bit lately. Getting out of my comfort zone is where the magic happens. And it doesn't, it can take a while to feel good. But and I mean, I've spoken about this a lot too, is that even if it doesn't feel good, these kind of getting out your comfort zones, you just got to do it anyway. And this is the whole thing about confidence and like all that kind of stuff. But you've got to push through and push through to the discomfort, because that's when the magic happens. Absolutely.
And one last thing, I know you probably are running out of time, but one last thing I would love to say on that is when you get really intuitive, you start to recognize when you're outside your comfort zone. And what is so important, this is a life practice to recognize. And even if you can do visualization to visualize this, because something that's so important to recognize is what's outside your comfort zone right now, whether that be starting a business, spirituality, or anything, even getting to know yourself. Soon that will become your comfort zone, right? How I know it's like a twilight zone, but what you're experiencing outside your comfort zone will very quickly become your comfort zone. And what's so important is to recognize when that happens so you can find the next outside your comfort zone.
Absolutely. Love it all. I won't keep you any longer because you have to go and catch a plane to Bali. jealous.
Exciting.
For sure.
So exciting. Yeah, but it's winter here as well. Where you are is like already hot. I'm freezing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's Canada, so it was cold yesterday. Don't get me wrong. But thank you so much for being on the podcast. Honestly, I feel like we could chat for many more hours, but we will leave it here. I do have one final little question for you, and I feel like this could go two ways. It might be really easy or really hard for you, but what is your favorite cocktail?
Oh my God. No, an old fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
Yeah, right. Old-fashioned. Okay. At the moment, because it's winter here. So that's like my winter warmer cocktail. So I answer for Erin on this day, 26th of July, 2018. But it probably will change. It'll change as soon as I get to Bali.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. You'll find some exotic cocktail there and it'll be your new favorite. Once again, thank you so much for being on this episode. Can you let everyone know where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am literally Erin May Henry all over the internet, YouTube, podcast, Facebook, Instagram, all the good stuff. You can come hang out with me. If you do, you will be Bali spammed for the next couple of weeks. But after that, we'll get back to some old fashions and some winter.
I feel like people will enjoy it and appreciate the Bali spam. So that's okay. Thanks so much, Erin. And we will catch you on another episode.
Thanks so much, Brooke.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Success Babe Radio. I hope you learned something that you can begin to implement in your life right now. If you did enjoy this episode, I would absolutely love it if you left me a review in iTunes so that we can get the podcast in front of more people and share the message. Don't forget to head over to my website to sign up and get all the free goodies I've created for you. There's so much for you to enjoy, and I am so grateful to be able to share it with you. Speak soon.